Hello, Peaceful Prophets Nation. Welcome to the Peaceful Prophets Podcast. I'm your host, Chanel Nielsen, and we're joined today with Meredith Trunkett. Meredith, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. Meredith is a Peaceful Prophets team member, and I'll start off by just introducing her. So Meredith graduated from Stanford with a bachelor's in English and a master's in European history. She taught English lit and writing for over 10 years and was responsible for writing curriculum for new courses in the English department. She loves teaching in any form and feels lucky to get to work with authors and coach them in the One Book Millions method. Meredith has done copywriting for 3 years and joined Peaceful Prophets in 2022 as a hybrid copywriter, proofer, and ghostwriter. She has always loved words and also dabbles in writing fiction. And I thought this was a fun little tidbit about her. She says she has a dozen plus chapters of a novel that are burning inside her to get out that is currently located in random notebooks, files, and drawers. So before we get to the meat of this podcast, Meredith, I would love to hear what your novel is about.
You know, it's about a woman's journey, and it's more about her children's journey for a mistake she makes and sort of the judgment that's put on her children and their story of resilience, but also her story of resilience. So it's more looking back a long time ago, but it's redemption and resilience and the mother-child relationship. So
awesome. Okay, cool. That is so fun. And I love that phrase that you said, that it's burning inside you to get out, because I think that that can be true of many things. It can be true of our fiction work. It can also be true of businesses that we just know we need to start. And it's something I hear a lot with people that come into Peaceful Prophets. They just feel called. They feel led. They feel like this thing is in me and I need to share it. And so many people, because of the One Book Millions method, come to Peaceful Prophets because they're interested in creating a book and using it as a book funnel like they've seen Mike do. So with your role as a ghostwriter and as the team member who helps people to work on their own books in our Q&As, you are the perfect person to teach us how to make our books better. So let's talk about this. In Peaceful Prophets, one of the things that you do is help people with a very specific style of book. How would you describe the kinds of books that people write here?
I mean, I was going through a list in my head of all the topics I've read about. I mean, the common denominator is it's someone that has a lot of expertise and works with clients to share that knowledge, either self-empowerment, to teach them how to do something like run a law office efficiently and profitably. I mean, it's anything. The most fun book recently is something called Goodbye Good Girls. And it's about empowering women not to live by the good girl rules and really just living their bold. And it's fun and sassy. And then you have a book, you know, from a doctor that's very scientifically driven, and it's how to optimize your health at a cellular level. It's just so many different things. Some are metrically driven, some are scientifically driven, some are principle driven. But bottom line is they're trying to serve others with their passion. And that's what's so amazing to see in the books, how passionate they are. And they're very transparent in their own journey, which is also inspiring, because it wasn't all roses, like you said, to start a company. And they had a calling, and then they're putting it down in words, which I'll just preface this whole thing. Writing a book is not easy.
Yeah, right. I think that it's one of those things that feels easy until you actually start to do it. And the moment you start to sit down and work on it, if you've spent any time in that process, you will know it is not easy.
And yet the most absolutely rewarding piece of my job is to watch the transformation of the books. I mean, I get goosebumps when I watch them put so much work and effort and are so coachable and are so trusting in the process and yet make it their own, and how excited they are at the end. So it's just very, very cool to be in the collaborative process, because that's what writing is. It is not in a silo. It's really collaborating with people to get your best product out, whether it's beta readers, a writing coach, probably not your best friend because they'll just be a cheerleader, but people that'll give you honest feedback.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of things in there that I want to talk a little bit deeper about, because one thing you said, that the book writing itself is a transformation, a transformative process. Tell me what that means.
You know, I've thought about when you asked to do a podcast with me, I thought if you did a podcast with the clients, I wonder if our answers would align. That if you asked me, you know, the sticky parts of writing and what's hard for them. I think that people come in thinking their book's going to look like this. And they've read Mike's book. And Mike's style of writing is so unique to Mike. He's a man of few words. It's very clear. It's very metrically driven. It's very logical and rational. And sometimes they try to mimic that. And it's not them. So first they have to find their voice. And then they have to really crystallize, okay, what value am I going to offer? And I know it all in my head. But putting it down on paper is a whole different ballgame. And so it's learning how they're going to use the framework to make it a marketing asset to grow their business, still make it their own, and really get the value to the reader without overwhelming the reader. And we can get to that later.
Yeah.
But it is a transformation. It's just going through the process and the messiness of it. It's like cleaning out a closet, right? It gets super messy, and then it gets cleaner as you put everything back in an orderly fashion. So it's a messy process. It doesn't happen like sit at the computer and work for 8 days and you have a book necessarily.
Yeah. I think even that is a light bulb moment. I think, I hope that listeners are saying, okay, wait a minute, you know, for people who haven't written a book, this idea that you think your book will be one way, but it is a process. In the process, you learn and grow through writing, because it does seem in a way very linear. I have these thoughts. I'm going to put them on paper. There will be my book. It will be out into the world. And yet the process itself is very different. And I think part of that comes through a piece that you mentioned, which is collaborating. And I think that's another thing that we don't often think about. If I picture an author, I think someone sitting quietly at their computer all alone in their room, and they are writing, and that it doesn't involve other people. And yet you're saying a big piece of it is collaboration.
I think the most successful books I've seen, not that all the authors don't write a successful book, but I think the process that eases it and makes it the most seamless for the author is when they get early feedback from beta readers, someone in their world. They could just send three chapters and say, what do you think? Someone who's a writing coach, like they're working in the Done With You process, or even someone who is new to your world and interested, because it gives you the immediate feedback. Like, I was so overwhelmed by chapter one, I was lost. Or because where I find people really stumble is they write their whole book and then they turn it in and they have this behemoth revision process versus saying, okay, I learned these three things in chapters one, two, and three. That was too overwhelming. That was wordy. This was confusing. This was amazing. And then they can thread that all the way through. So I guess it's the early feedback is just critical. And the other little trick is writers will get in the weeds of writing, right? You're so in that world and you're so deep in it that to put down your book for a day or two, or go on a hike with your dog, or whatever, you come back with a very different eye. And I was laughing because often on Friday, I had a day where I stared at my computer screen and I'm ghostwriting a book for a client, and I kept deleting entire paragraphs. And then I'd start again and then I'd delete it. And then I took a walk with my dog and I came back. And then it all came out. It was almost like my subconscious went through this. And I have turned it into the client. I turned in like the first three chapters. And he came back and said, I really want it from a more authoritative stance. Because he's so conversational when you interact with him. And I was like, okay. So now I don't have to revise 12 chapters. I know that's the voice he wants and can thread that. So it's that kind of idea.
Yeah, which is so powerful, and actually reminds me of something because when I was with the Peaceful Profit sales team, one thing that happened a lot is people would get on the call and they'd come to the call and say, you know, I wrote a book. I read One Book Millions Method and I wrote a book. So now all I need help with is putting together my funnel. And it was really interesting because they were inspired and they wrote their own book, but as they got it out into the world, it wasn't doing what they wanted it to do, and it wasn't helping them to grow their business. And ultimately, what we're talking about here, when we're talking about a One Book Millions Method style book, we're talking about a book to grow your business. So I would love to hear from you. What are some of the elements that have to be present in their book to help them to grow their businesses?
I would say the most important ones, and the hardest part for me, in my opinion, and I think for authors, is part one of the book, chapters 1 through 5. And I think a stumbling block for authors is they want to jump in and teach. They have all this knowledge and they jump in part one. And I think the elements that are so critical in those early chapters is to remember you are taking the reader on a journey, and ultimately you want them to do something. Book a call, join your Facebook group, a course, whatever it is, to join your world. And you have to remember that starts with trust. And so the elements early on that are so critical is, one, telling your story. And so the reader knows, like, this person knows where I am and knows where I want to be. And how do I get to where they are? And how did they develop this process, because, or their framework or system, how do I know it works? Then the case studies. So the case studies, you kill them with the case studies, because now you're showing I've helped other people with the system I developed because it helped me. And there's a difference between a case study and a testimonial, right? They don't want to hear that Chanel is the greatest podcaster. She is, but what they want to see is this podcast helped this person do XYZ. And then they know you're an amazing podcaster. Same with, you know, any coach. So those are important. So I think it's the case studies. I think it's your story and being vulnerable with them. And then the self-assessments. So one of the early chapters is you kind of climb in the reader's brain and say, what are they saying to themselves reading this book of why this won't work? Right? They have preconceived limiting beliefs or notions like, I've tried weight loss. What is this guy trying to sell me? And so you knock those objections down by calling them on the table. And then you show why your system would help them instead. And you have them pause in that self-assessment and say, okay, where am I in this challenge? And it's that pause with the reader where they engage and they think about their problem. So now they're gaining trust, right? Slowly. And then I would say, another element is how you write your system. When you come to part two, so if you gain their trust, they know you help people. Now they're like, okay, I'm ready to learn. It is doing it in a way that feels systematic and doable to them.
Mm.
And so I think that's one of the hardest things authors do is, how do I take this body of knowledge that I tell people all day long, right? But make it feel doable on paper. And it's so important that the reader walk away that I could do this by myself, and hopefully they figure out it's going to be really hard and I need someone else's help. But if it's just sort of like a textbook, you're going to lose that reader. So I think that's a very important component, is the doable and actionable feeling, and even of Mike's book.
Yeah.
And the other thing I love about Mike's framework is, after they've gotten all this incredible value that you've given them, now they're standing there going, okay, but what do I do first? And there's so many books we read that we think that was so interesting, and I think that would be awesome, but you don't know where to start, or you get stuck. I'm not going to take the first step. So then Mike says, deliver the results in advance. So catch that reader in that place where I don't know where to start. We'll give them a place to start. So we call it quick wins. And this is where you give them a short exercise, a journal prompt, something that brings them closer to success, but also action begets action. If they take 3 action steps, they are more likely to continue with that action, whether it's picking up the phone or continuing to explore your website or get on your newsletter, whatever it is. And they might need more nurturing than the book, right? I mean, that's another thing to consider. But those are the most important elements, is that reader trust. I think Mike has incredible elements that gains that. The clarity of your system and making it feel doable for the reader. And then the quick wins. I think those are the most critical.
Yeah, I love how you've laid that out. I think that that's perfect and so helpful. I think one thing that I want to highlight in what you said is this idea of really just giving people things to do, making it doable. And often people are scared to put too much in their books. And we can see from this process, and by too much, I mean, people are afraid like, oh, if I tell my system, if I give them my system, then they won't want to buy from me because they'll have this available. And yet what you said is teach them how to do it, like show them in your book how to do it. When they start to do it, that's when they're going to realize that they need help often. And so that's such a cool thing because you are offering it all to them. Yeah. And that's so powerful and just comes from such a place of heart and giving and like, here's what I have, here's what I can teach you. And I love this concept and this whole framework of the book, honestly, is so amazing.
Now, and it really is. I mean, Mike even calls it Give Away the Farm, and it does scare people.
Yeah.
But then I find there's this dance of offering the value to get results for the reader if they did try, but without the overwhelm, because then the other, right, it can swing that other way. And now the reader is swimming in theory and research and stats, and that can be repelling. So it's that fine dance of how would you sit across, you know, a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever your beverage, a matcha tea, and explain to them this process. Like, helping them do something. And to your point, it's all in service. It's to make a bigger impact. And I hear authors say that over and over on the call. Through my book, I can reach more people. And that's such an authentic, it's not a bait and switch marketing. It's not, you know, giving them this much value and then say, okay, book a call and I'll get the rest. Or the millions of webinars you see out there, right? That really, they're not offering value. It's a big sales call. And that's, I don't think Mike's framework is representative of that at all.
Exactly. Exactly. It is to give value and to serve. And if you want further service and further help, here you go. So this framework is very, you know, the process for writing a book, there's so much clarity, you know, as you've spelled out, there's part one, part two, part three, like it's all laid out in there. But where do you find people getting stuck? Even with, you know, this framework, where do people get stuck in the process?
I mean, we've touched on it one. I mean, it's knowing when to teach and knowing, I mean, Mike teaches in part one, but it's not overwhelming because he's still gaining your trust. So he teaches through stories. So there's story teaching versus flooding with knowledge, right? So I think that's a piece, is people want to teach right away. They're so excited. They know so much. I mean, I'm continually blown away by the expertise I speak to every day. And they really need to hold that back and build the trust, share their story, like what we've talked about. Yeah. That's one place people get stuck. I've read introductions that are 20 pages and awesome. And I just say, cut and paste and put that somewhere else. That's a little mantra we have. Nothing written is ever wasted. It just might find a different chapter to live in. So that's one place, is like, when to teach, when to pull it back. Do I have to tell my story? And people don't want to brag. They don't want to be boastful, or maybe they don't want to go into the dark moment in their life. Right. And yet it's such a critical point for that reader trust and connection, because by the end of the book, they're going to feel like they know you, and there's ways to temper it and ways to present it. So that's two sticky points, the story, and then the too much teaching. And then it's the framework. I'm going to tell you that authors look at me and say, I talk to clients on a daily basis and putting this on paper is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I just say, put it all down and you can prune it back, right? So it's, I think that is a sticky point. And it almost, yeah, say, I don't know if I can do this. I think that's where they get the most discouraged. And then when they just put it on paper and say, and I always ask this question because of that book, Mike Had Us Read by Rob Fitzpatrick, is this useful to the reader? And what am I telling them right now that's useful or recommendable? Am I saying it for me because I just want to add this piece of research? Or is it really useful to the reader to help them? So I think that's, we've touched on it, the doable, actionable system, and how to clarify that. That's a huge sticky point. And I think using their authentic voice.
Yeah.
That is their X factor, right? I don't want to read 12 of Mike Shreve's books. I mean, Mike Shreve is Mike Shreve and it's amazing. And who he, I love listening to Mike, but your voice, Chanel's voice, I mean, you've written a book. That's what the reader is going to engage with. And at the end, it's your audience. I don't know your audience. So right, it needs to be that authentic voice. I'm just an outside reader, right? So I think that's letting that out a little bit. Some people try to mimic it almost to the word. And I'm like, no, 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 that doesn't even sound like you. It doesn't, you know, I'm talking to you on the screen. So they get stuck in that. And details. You have to have that reader engagement. And so not broad strokes, right? I just read a book about optimizing your health. Okay. And it's at a cellular level, but to relate to me, to make me engage, I have to know that in my life, those tiny details of, you know, I have brain fog at 4 p.m. I have no idea why. I eat so clean. I exercise every day. You know, why is it that I need that third cup of coffee at 4 p.m. and then I can't sleep? Or why am I not sleeping well because my brain's ruminating? Or I just read, there's a book called Nourish Mama that's going out from one of the OBMM authors. And she finally got, it's to lose the last 7 pounds of a new mom. And she used it like, stop eating the goldfish and half of your PBJ sandwich on your child's plate because you didn't plan your healthy meal and took the time for yourself.
Yes.
And those kind of details, I think also it's the resonance and reader engagement. People get stuck in the broader strokes and not kind of pulling back. Like, who do you talk to every day? And what are the specific problems they bring you?
Yeah. Even in those examples, there's so much power. You know, as you talked about a book about health at the cellular level, I, in my own mind, like, oh yeah, that's interesting. But when you talk about brain fog at 4 p.m., I say, oh, you know, sometimes at 4 p.m., I'm tired. I'm going for the chocolate. You know, it becomes real. It becomes personal. And so those details, the goldfish crackers, those specific things, your readers are going to perk up. They're going to know this is for me. This is my book. She's talking about me. And that's the whole thing. I imagine that's one of those pieces that really makes a standout book.
And it's that reader engagement because you're educating them, somewhat entertaining them, but ultimately this is a different reader. This is not the reader taking this book to the beach and getting lost in fiction, right? This is, I have a problem and they better deliver value to me because I bought the book. And so they're reading it as a solution seeker. And they want, like you said, to see themselves in the book. You understand them. You've solved this problem. And the case studies do the same thing. Choosing the case studies in a variety of who your audience is, at some one of those case studies, the reader will most likely say, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
And they got helped. So
that's perfect. Okay. So many good pieces in there that I feel like can really help people to understand the little aspects that make the difference between a book that you know, you might get halfway through and a book that you're devouring or reading several times over and want more of. Okay, in the little bit of time that we have left, I want to talk about something I've heard you mention, which is your process of writing ugly. And you said that in your own writing, you write ugly. What does that mean?
So I have to turn off my internal editor to write. And this is the writer's block. This is turning on your computer. And Chanel, you know this. You have a blank screen and you have a blinking cursor. And you're like, oh my gosh, here I go. And you can find 900 reasons not to write. So for me, and everyone's writing process is different. Get the details, research all my notes first, and then I write ugly. And if it's an OBMM book, then I make sure I have a super strong outline, which provides a roadmap, right? And the first thing I'll do is I'll just copy and paste my notes into what chapters I think they fit into. Nothing's permanent. And then I don't start with the introduction. I start with chapter one and I just start writing and I start linking ideas together and concepts together. And I don't go back and read the paragraph I wrote before. I just keep writing. I don't worry about sentence structure. And it's hard for me because I do editing and I do proofing. But I turn it off because it's actually when you start writing, and I don't know if you've read Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art, he says by writing, that's when the new ideas suddenly pop in your head or the connections are made. So for me, it's just saying, okay, I'm going to write chapter one today. And it could be it is going to be ugly. It is not a first draft, is just putting the information on the page. So that's what writing ugly for me is: turn off the inner critic, turn off the internal editor, take the notes, take what I think it should sound like, and write. So that's really writing ugly. It's not being a perfectionist or thinking the first thing that comes out of me is going to be what it is at the end. And like we've said, it's a process. You know, the client read my first three chapters and had feedback, and it was phenomenal. And writing's personal. It's hard sometimes to get that feedback. And I'm so careful with the coaching clients because it is their heart and soul. When you write, you are right putting it all on the page. But it's okay for it to be ugly. It is going to be ugly.
I think that turning off the inner critic is so key. And I think it's hard to do, but if you can, in some ways, maybe turn it down, if not completely off, throughout the whole writing process, to where, Tina says something in her British way that it's not precious to you, that it's not, this isn't your baby, this is your book, and you're growing it rather than this is, this thing that you just love so much and you have to keep it the way it is, and instead that you allow it to grow without being critical. And so how do you go then from you've written this thing, it's not just right, you just got the words out of the page. Talk to us a little bit about the editing process of going from just getting it out on the page to making it into something better.
Okay. I also want to say to people that at least for me, once you get in your stride and you're just writing, it actually isn't going to be maybe as ugly as you think it's going to be. Maybe it feels ugly. So often I will say, okay, I wrote that chapter yesterday, right? I wrote chapter 4.1 yesterday for this client. I'm not going to read that chapter again for probably a day or two, because then you come at it with clearer eyes. And you then refine it again, but it's a whole process. And like we've talked about, the beta readers, the coach, the whoever you're going to get that feedback from, it's just a long process. So I go back, I read the chapter again, I maybe make some revisions. I'll turn it into the client after I've read it a third time and I'm actually okay with it, like he can read this. So I think it's making it less ugly and moving it towards refined and polished, but it's a process. It's, you know, it becomes less ugly.
I love it. And that's freeing, honestly, that's the goal. It's not becoming perfect and, you know, so stunningly beautiful. It's becoming gradually less ugly.
Exactly.
And that's great, because how much freedom is there in that to know that that's okay? And eventually it will get to this place where you feel comfortable sharing it with the world. Okay, Meredith, you have shared so many good things with us today. To finish up, what do you really hope that listeners walk away from this interview with?
I think to call it on the table that you are so brave and bold to write a book. And it is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. And you will feel one day like you are deleting every paragraph you write. And then the next day you'll come and kill it and you will write, you know, a chapter. So give yourself that permission that this is a process, especially writing the framework you're using if you're choosing the OBMM framework, because it's not... it's a different book. You are, it's a marketing asset, and to trust that process. But it's not easy. I also think just getting early feedback is so important, and don't be scared to do that. Do not pick your best friend or your mother, because they will be your greatest cheerleader. Pick smart people, but also use your gut. Take their criticism and feedback for what it is. My favorite feedback when I give someone my writing is they ask questions. Why did you put this, instead of like crossing out lines of text, is not always helpful. It's saying, okay, I was confused by this. Did you mean this? Or I would love you to talk more about this. So I think that's, you can guide your early feedback readers. Please ask yourself if this book will be impactful and effective and useful for someone. So every word you put in there, you are there to serve someone. And is that word serving them? Because it is supposed to be a short book, but so those are my three things. Have fun and be bold. And I just applaud you. You've made the choice to write a book, because not everyone does.
Yeah. So good. Those are fantastic takeaways. You have shared so many good things with us today. Thank you for being here. Thank you everyone for listening. Yes, of course. And if you want help writing your Peaceful Profits style book, go to peacefulprofits.com/call. We would love to help you out. The fabulous Meredith can look at your writing and continue to teach you on the inside. Thanks everyone. And we'll see you next time. Bye.